And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello, it is December 20th. Merry Christmas week. I don't know if that's a thing, but we're here. Bowl season is upon us. The holidays are upon us. The best time of the year in college football. I am your host, David Ubben. Welcome to Football and Grits, the Athletics SEC football podcast. Joined, as always, by my co-host, Andy Staples. Andy, before we get into the games that are going to be happening soon, I was told that ducks fly south for the winter, but apparently we have one that has flown west from the plains all the way up to Oregon. Bo Nix.
Tigers fly north?
It's a little convoluted, I admit. In the middle of that, I was like, this is a little confusing, but I'm going to roll with it. That's how we do it on this show. But for, I'm sure if you haven't heard, Bo Nix, former Auburn quarterback, former five-star recruit, Rorschach test, Andy? Or how do we want to refer to him on this podcast? A polarizing figure.
Yeah, I feel like how you feel about Bo Nix says more about you than it does about him.
That's fair. Either way, he's going to be playing for Oregon next year, Andy, who, coincidentally, will open up next season against Georgia with Dan Lanning, former Georgia defensive coordinator, as its head coach on the sidelines. A spicy opener. Andy, what do we make of this? Because
He's headed to rejoin Kenny Dillingham, who was his offensive coordinator as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, perhaps he enjoyed playing for Kenny. Now, I don't know what this means exactly. We've not seen Ty Thompson's response to this yet. Ty Thompson is the heralded recruit who did not beat out Anthony Brown this year, much to the chagrin of the Oregon faithful. And, you know, I was reading Twitter when the news broke and Dan Lanning tweeted out the duck emoji when he got it. You know, he does that when he gets a commitment. And So when they got the Bo Nix commitment, he tweeted out the duck emoji. And the first response is like, what about Ty Thompson? Don't you have faith in your elite QB recruit? And the person below is like, he didn't recruit him, dummy.
Yeah, I think, if I'm Ty Thompson, I'm a little nervous. I mean, when you have a changing at the head coaching spot and they bring in a new guy, especially a guy that they have a history with, it's not a great sign for you, I think. But we'll see. More competition is not a bad thing. You know, Bo Nix, say what you will about the guy, but he's better than a lot of quarterbacks that are on college rosters. And he's a guy that can win you some ball games. He's a guy that can make your fans probably cuss a lot. We've seen plenty of that from Auburn. But he's a guy that can make opposing defenses do the same thing. We saw him make a ton of plays this year. So, you can't color Bo Nix as the guy who's going to come in and win Pac-12 Player of the Year and be Superman. But I have a hard time believing he's not a guy that, by him being on your roster, doesn't make your team better. I think that's where I'm at on all this.
Oh, I think so, too. And look, the defense he's going to be playing there, not as good as the defenses that he was playing. Well, except for the first game, because he's got to play Georgia again. But Andy, not as good as the defenses he's been playing.
This is some Washington State slander we're hearing here.
I understand, and I apologize, Cougs, but it's just life. Alabama is better than you. You're going to have to live with that. Another one of my favorite Twitter responses to Lanning after they announced that they got a commitment, which happened to be Bo Nix. He's not the type of guy that can beat Bama. Au contraire, mon frère. He has actually beaten Alabama.
I have seen it with my own two eyes, Andy. It did happen. I can guarantee you that it happened. I mean, I think, like I said, for all the, you know, I wrote this, the column last week about the death of the backup quarterback. maybe Oregon has a couple. You know, if Ty Thompson stays.
But maybe that's all they have. What if they don't have a starter? Maybe they just have backups.
If Ty Thompson stays or Bo Nix stays and both of those guys are there and one of those guys is starting, I got to tell you, I feel decent about having that other guy as the backup, whoever that is.
Yeah.
You could be in a worse situation.
There's going to be a lot of movement. And so I wrote kind of as a response to your column and basically in response to a couple of questions I got in my Dear Andy mailbag. You know, the backup quarterback, you're right, is dying. But certain smart quarterbacks and smart coaches will take advantage of this inefficiency in the market. Because
totally agree.
They're going to be better high school quarterbacks available because there are not as many getting signed. So if you are an elite team signing, because remember, the elite teams are still signing those top shelf quarterback recruits. But now dip down into the three stars.
Into a mid three star. We can call it. Can we call it the Kyle Trask corollary?
I mean, Kyle was a two-star who didn't even start his own high school. He's more of a
because De'Aaron King was ahead of him, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like the Chase Bryce who comes in to save your butt when Syracuse knocks out Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Now Chase Bryce wound up playing at Duke and Appalachian State after Clemson, but it's that type of player who is willing to stay. But yes, Kyle Trask is a good example. Mac Jones is a good example, even though Mac Jones was a low four-star. Mac Jones could have gone to Kentucky. He was offered, but he was committed to Kentucky. And they had a change at quarterback coach, and he decided to examine his options, and one of those options turned out to be Alabama. And he was the one guy not scared to commit in the same class as Tua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to watch. Just the entire... I mean, I think this is the thing that... I think you wrote this. I think I touched on it. I think you hit this on your mailbag, or maybe it was Stu. I forget. There's too much content on The Athletic, Andy. It's good stuff.
Oh, not it's a good.
This is the norm. This is not the coaching carousel. I don't think is the norm. I think this is an outlier. The quarterback, the quarterback, whatever we want to call this.
Yes.
That this is the new norm. This is what's going to be happening every single year from here on out. It's not going to go back. I don't expect the coaching carousel to be quite this crazy every year, but get used to quarterbacks moving, big names that you know, moving from programs that you watch. It's very interesting. I mean, Lane Kiffin said it. Free agency's here in college football, and you can complain about it. You can yell about it for reasons I don't fully understand.
But is that what happened with Bo Nix? I don't think that's what happened with Bo Nix.
Not Bo Nix specifically, but I'm talking in the grander scheme of things. You're going to see a guy that you watched play a lot of football one year, play a lot of football for somebody else the next year, and that's going to be just what the sport is. Like all other sports, Andy.
Yes. Yes, just more compressed because, you know, LeBron plays for three different franchises, one franchise twice, over the course of a 20-year NBA career. You're going to see somebody play for two teams over the course of 4 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
It's
fine. It's fine.
It actually gives you something to talk about.
It does. It does. Andy, do we need to give a standing ovation, a round of applause for Texas A&M, the national champions? Do we need to?
But are they? Because
they're going to get
there. That doesn't happen until... What, you think they're going to get there in February?
I think they're going to get there in February. It's going to be close, get there. Either way...
They have several hanging out there that they could get, and they don't have to get them all. If they get like two of them, they're going to be number one. Yeah.
Either way, for the uninitiated, for the last decade, Andy, what is the current? Is it 11 years, I believe?
Yes.
Alabama or Georgia have had the number one recruiting class in the country. As we sit here with the early signing period closed, and we have a month-long sprint, a handful of five stars, some other guys still available, A&M still in on many of those guys. A&M has the number one recruiting class in the country. Andy, we sat here a month ago around Thanksgiving, and I said, I'm not worried about A&M. Sometimes teams go 8-4. Sometimes they have bad years. They'll be fine. This is why they're going to be fine. And I think this is also why, Andy, Jimbo wasn't that motivated to go to LSU. Multiple times, it sounds like Scott Woodward dialed him up, and he said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to bring a number one class to A&M and then leave it. A&M is one of those cases. Anyone in college football, this has been the case in the Big 12. It's been the case in the country. You can see it. There's never been a good reason why they haven't been able to be great, why they haven't been able to be a juggernaut. And you keep doing this, Andy. You just get continuous bites at the apple. We're seeing it with Georgia this year. Georgia kind of similar. No national championship since 1980. There's no reason why they couldn't. I am of the belief that's the best job in college football. But you keep reeling in top one, top two, top three classes. You get a bunch of bites at the apple. A&M hasn't really gotten a big chomp yet, but this is how it's college coming. Football works. We don't need Ari in here to tell us that it's coming. It's coming.
Well, and what it probably will take for A&M to get over that hump is they find that special quarterback.
Transcendent
guy. Whether that's Haynes King, whether that's Max Johnson, whether that's Connor Wegman. If one of those three guys is that special quarterback that just clicks in that offense, the talent will carry them. They will have a very good season.
They've been pretty good on the lines, but they haven't had that game breaker. Kellen Mond, a good player, not a guy that I think defensive coordinators lost a lot of sleep over. You need that guy, I think, to really to be a truly scary team. You know, Georgia is threatening to break that, I guess, mold, but they're going to be more the exception than the rule, and they also have what we think is still a very, very good defense, even if we're not willing to apply that generational stamp to them, Andy. The SEC title game, I think, made us all a little bit weary. We'll see. But if they're able to win a national championship, they're going to be the exception more than the rule. And if Alabama wins, Andy, why will Alabama win the national championship this year?
Because they have a better quarterback than anyone. Well,
yes.
The best quarterback that they could face in the playoff is probably the one they're facing in the first round.
I think you may be you may be right about that. But we'll
see. Yeah, I think I would if we're talking about okay, so Bryce Young is probably the best of the four starters. And I would say Desmond Ritter's number two, and then we'll see how you stack up Cade McNamara, Stetson Bennett, and then JT Daniels. I guess you can kind of throw in there too,
if you're gonna
maybe throw him in. I don't know if they will or not, but I would say that you would put Bryce Young and Des Ritter 1-2 with Bryce being number one, obviously, and yeah, you got a special quarterback, you have more of a chance, and it makes up for more. You know, that's where Ari's. The stars matter stuff absolutely matters, but you can make up more than anything else with a special quarterback because Alabama, you know, they've got one really special defender in Will Anderson, but not an elite defense compared to the other defenses they've put out in the last 10 years.
Yeah. A very good
this
defense.
Probably isn't the best offensive line that they've put out in the past 10 years. But Will Anderson and Bryce Young on either side make up for a lot.
I think that's right. But the Aggies, I mean, you know, they're just amassing talent, Andy. I think they cracked the blue chip ratio 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And even if you just keep recruiting at this level, maybe not number one every year, but if you're top five, to top seven every year, which I think is a reasonable goal for A&M, even as they lose the SEC bargaining chip when Texas comes. I think they can still be close. Considering, you know, if you're Jimbo versus Sark or whoever is running Texas in 5 years, you know, Jimbo's a bigger draw right now. That's just true. He's just a better coach.
Yeah.
And that's a selling point. So I think they can be at that point, and if you just keep amassing that talent every year, your floor is super, super high. And if your floor is 8 or 9 wins, I mean, was this the worst case scenario for A&M this year, Andy? More than likely,
I would think. Well, they did beat Alabama, so I don't know if you can call it the worst.
Yeah, that's fair, but not a great year.
Yes,
they went toe to toe with Colorado.
They looked really bad against Arkansas and really bad against Mississippi State.
Yeah,
and you take those two games away, and I think. You're looking at a different season.
Yeah, I agree. The talent is there, though. The floor is high. So give them the rings, Andy. Do you get rings for recruiting national championship?
You do not get... yeah, you get ring pops. That's what you get. You get ring
pops. I'll give them that. Okay.
They disappear after you suck on them for a little while, but that's all you get. You don't get anything permanent. You have to create something permanent out of that. But it's interesting because what you described when you're talking about if you recruit like this class after class after class after class, You described LSU going into 2019. Mm-hmm. They kept recruiting like that, and then eventually they had the quarterback to go with it, and you saw what you saw.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase helped. Clyde Edwards-Helaire helped. But, yes, just overwhelming teams. It all sort of, the stars sort of aligned.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Well, Andy, as for the national championships that take place on the field, we're nearing bowl season. How do you feel about some bowl picks, Andy? Do we want to knock on the door of some bowl picks? The SEC's bowl season gets kicked off Wednesday in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Andy, I just broke my own rule because Lockheed Martin does not sponsor Football and Grits. I'd be a little iffy if they did, to be honest. But they do not sponsor Football and Grits. And my long-standing rule, Andy, is if you're not working for ESPN or the schools, just call the bowl what it is. So,
well, that's what I was in. I remember covering the Peach Bowl between Miami and Florida after the 2004 season, mm-hmm. and the PR guy got really mad at the Associated Press reporter for not writing it as the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And the Associated Press reporter said, well, I always write it as the Outback Bowl, so if you want to change your name to the Chick-fil-A Bowl, then you go right ahead. But until you do, it's the Peach Bowl.
Exactly.
And the guy got so mad, and they did change it to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. They had to change it back to the Peach Bowl when it became a semifinal.
Yes. So anyway, that's my long-standing rule. I don't think I'm alone there. Either way, the Armed Forces Bowl will start from the top. We'll go in order. Andy, we have Missouri, a 4-point dog to the Army Black Knights, who were upset in the Army-Navy game. Where are you going here?
So, Steve Wilks, in his time as Missouri's defensive coordinator, has not looked great against offenses that tend to be unique to college, that you don't see in the NFL. And he's, you know, NFL guy. He's been an NFL head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely been an NFL defensive coordinator. I don't think he's seen a lot of triple option. Now, there's not you can figure out how to stop it. You have to hit the dive man, you have to hit the quarterback, you have to hit the pitch man every play. Mm-hmm. And you have to, you know, make sure who the guys on the field know who has each one and just make sure they hit them. But I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that.
Even with
if you've never seen it before,
I'm with you on this, Andy. Yeah.
If you haven't seen it before, and Munkin can make some adjustments, and remember, Munkin's not purely an option guy, so he may throw a wrinkle in there. And I'm guessing Army's pretty pissed about the way they played against Navy, because they were the better team than Navy all season, but they got beat that day. Mm-hmm. Like, they got straight up beat. So I imagine they are happy a week and a half later to have a chance to erase that feeling. So I think Army covers in this game.
It feels like to me in this game, Andy, Army's either going to score 13 or 40.
Yes.
Like I kind of what you look at this. It's going to be we're in the middle of the second quarter and people are sending thoughts and prayers to the Missouri defense
or
Connor Bazelak throws for 500 something yards and they do to Army's defense what Wake did. Except they slow them down enough, because I don't think that this is going to be a shootout. I think this is going to be lopsided one way or the other, but I'm kind of with you on this, Andy.
Against a team like an SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
So when Paul Johnson gets the Georgia Tech job, I think they played a Peach Bowl against LSU, And one of the poor guards for Georgia Tech just was overwhelmed by whoever he had to play against
LSU's
from LSU.
LSU's D-lines tend to do that.
Right. And so the LSU D-tackle was putting this guy in the basically in the quarterback and fullback's lap every play. And Georgia Tech could do nothing. So that's the thing that could make us both wrong, is if there's one matchup along the line of scrimmage that the Missouri can take advantage of, then we're going to be wrong. But if Army can match up decently up front, I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah, I think so too. Andy, we have the Gasparilla Bowl. Now I would have made an exception if Bad Boy Mowers was still driving the bus on this one, but they're not.
What about Bitcoin? This used to be the Bitcoin Bowl for a minute too.
I believe so. But yes,
the Beef O'Brady's Bowl.
All these classics. Either way, we have a spicy matchup at a spiceless time, I suppose, Andy.
We found spice in a spiceless place?
Yeah, I think so. Florida, 6.5-point favorites over Gus Malzahn's UCF Knights, not the Golden Knights. I got a month of angry tweets. Andy, when I called them the Golden Knights in my 2011 Fiesta Bowl preview before Blake Bortles marched all over a very good Baylor team. I learned my lesson there, Andy. Either way, this is a little bit like the Missouri game, and what are we going to get from Florida? I have no idea.
Well, what are we going to get from UCF? Like, the UCF people aren't chirping at all because their team is so injured.
Yes,
that they're not really worrying about this game, because this is one where I think if UCF is completely healthy and Florida is where they are with a lame, you know, what the skeleton crew that's left of the mm-hmm. of the Mullen staff coaching them through this game. And waiting to find out what things will be like under the new staff. I think UCF would roll in that game. But UCF is so banged up that
they haven't been very good this year either. They've had a handful of games where you're just like, what is going on with these
guys? I will say that Florida, with bowl eligibility to play for and a bowl eligibility in this type of bowl, they were playing hard against Florida State. Mm-hmm. Like, they had not packed it in, even though their coach had been fired and all that stuff. So I'll be curious to see what they look like. And this is Anthony Richardson starting for the first time since the Georgia game. He ain't starting against Georgia's defense. Mm-hmm. So what's that going to look like? This is his audition for Billy Napier to say, look, I am QB1. Get your butt out of the portal.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting a backup for me. I'm here, and let's do this.
I think this will be tight. I think it'll be high scoring. But I'm gonna go UCF in the points here. 6.5 is a lot. I think they can score, put some points on the board, run the ball, control it a little bit. Give me a UCF in the points. Are you going Florida, Andy?
I'm going to be a homer and say Florida covers.
All right.
I think they still care. I think there's enough players that still care, and they're going to – they're going to go out there wanting to win this game. It's not going to be a lark. It won't be like last year when they got to the Cotton Bowl and just got smoked, which
that was
everybody saw coming a mile away.
Yeah. Well, but I think Florida, do you believe that this Florida team is – I mean, they're certainly more talented than UCF. Are they a lot better as a team than UCF? Because it sounds like if they show
UCF was healthy – if UCF was healthy, I would probably feel differently.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are so banged up. I don't think you know, like if Dylan Gabriel's, and obviously Dylan Gabriel's already committed to UCLA, mm-hmm. like he's gone. But if it were the team they started the season with, I think it'd be a little bit different story.
Yeah. Andy, next up in the Birmingham Bowl, we have Auburn at 6-6. No Bo Nix. TJ Finley getting the start here. A 2.5-point favorite against the Houston Cougars. Andy, I think Houston's really good. I think Houston might be one of the 15 best teams in the country this year. They're really good. They played a bad game in the first game of the season, and they've looked downright dominant at times. This is a little disrespectful. I think Houston, any of these AAC teams, when they get a shot at the SEC, they like to take that shot. I like Houston to win this game outright and maybe by a touchdown or something. I'm really not invested in a very up and down Auburn team, especially without Bo Nix to be able to play some backyard football.
And without Roger McCreary, Zakobe yes. McClain, and Brodarius Ham,
yes.
who have opted out. So
this is one of those fishy line yeah. to me, Andy. Is this inflated because people believe that the SEC rolls every bowl season, or do we think Vegas knows something on this?
No, it's listen. Auburn is more talented.
Mm-hmm.
Even after the opt-outs, Auburn has a more talented roster than Houston.
Agree.
But if a lot of the people playing in key roles have not been playing all season or have been backups, and they're playing against guys who started all year for a very good team, then you could be more talented and not be the better team.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I think that may be the case here.
Yeah. So are we both taking Houston out right here?
I will take Houston out right here, yeah.
All right, all right. I look forward to the angry tweets from the Auburn fans. On the flip side, the Liberty Bowl should change their name to the Revenge Bowl for 1 year because we get Mike Leach, the Pirate, who has already tossed out one barb about his, I believe it's $2.4 million that he's still waiting on from Texas Tech from a decade ago.
I thought it was more than that.
When this matchup first was announced, I thought it was 9, but then I was writing about it, and I believe it's 2.4. What's the difference in $6.5 million, Andy? I think we can all agree. It's a very
six
small...
and a half million dollars. That's the difference.
That's chump change. It's whatever. But either way, Texas Tech, when they've played some really good defenses, they have not looked good, and I think Mississippi State demolishes them at the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball here.
I think Mississippi State rolls in this game.
I think they win this game big.
Yeah, Charles Cross has opted out. I don't know that anybody else from Mississippi State has opted out. I know Mike Leach went on his little rant about opting out, which
yeah, whatever.
You know, when he was meeting with John Curry in Marina Del Rey, he was going to opt out on Washington State if Tennessee hired him. So it just sort of happens that way sometimes.
Yeah. Agree to disagree on the opt-outs, but we agree to agree, Andy, you and I at least. This is going to be a Bulldogs cakewalk big time. The Carolinas Bowl. Andy, important update to our last bowl show.
Oh, this is big time news, by the way. This
changes
everything.
Shane Beamer did tell me at the Nagurski banquet that he was going to subject himself to the Mayo bath, whatever it needed to be. I believe it was a just like one of those weird hometown press conferences. Mac Brown also agreed. Now, if we're keeping it 100, Andy, I would like to see Mac Brown take the Mayo bath on just a pure comedy standpoint. More so,
absolutely.
More so than
Shane
Beamer.
That's why I'm going to pick North Carolina in this game.
I also think North Carolina wins, but I think South Carolina makes this really competitive. They're very spicy down the stretch. And Andy, are there more good
Jason
vibes?
Jason Brown's gone.
Yeah, yes.
Jason are Brown there, helped make them spicy. Let's not forget that.
Are there better vibes around any team in the SEC outside of the playoff right now than South Carolina?
No, because they severely outperformed expectations. We thought maybe they were a 3-win team this year. They're here in a Mayo Bowl, and Spencer Rattler's coming.
Awesome
to be the starting quarterback. Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. So I do think South Carolina is in a happy place. Are they okay? Now, Tennessee had a whole season of outperforming expectations and just being generally happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Hendon Hooker coming back. So I would say that, and we had this argument about Josh Heupel and Shane Beamer, you know, doing the best job relative to expectations as well. I think they're kind of neck and neck again for good vibes.
Well, I think Tennessee's a much better team than South Carolina because you watch Tennessee when they look really good, you're just like, wow, they're just really good. When you see South Carolina roll, you're kind of wondering, how is this
how
happening
are they doing
right
this?
Now? Yeah, like you're like, what in the world? Tennessee, I think, has better athletes. So, yeah, I think in terms of – that's where you get kind of messy because on paper, Tennessee lost a lot more, was in a much more dire situation. But then you watch them play and you're like, this doesn't look like a team that lost, you know, a couple dozen guys to the portal and, you know, 15, 20 guys. I forget what the numbers even are from their depth chart that should be on this team. They look pretty competent right now. They don't look like a team that's playing that shorthanded, in part because they stayed relatively healthy this year. They dodged some bullets there. But either way, in this ball game, Andy, I think South Carolina keeps it close, but North Carolina finishes it off. Sam Howell, did he opt out or is he playing?
I believe he's playing.
I think he's playing too, which I'm not sure why, but more power to him. I'm excited to see him play. But either way, North Carolina have been pretty shaky this year. I like the vibes around South Carolina finishing the season with a flurry, except for having to play awakened Clemson. North Carolina is not awakened Clemson.
They played Clemson at absolutely the wrong time.
Yeah, if they get Clemson in mid-October, Andy, I'm not so sure they don't win that ball game. But I like North Carolina, but I like them tight here. Moving to Nashville, a little bit down I-40, Purdue, Tennessee. No David Bell for Purdue, I believe, Andy. Am I correct in this? I think that's right.
I believe so. Hold on. Let me check my opt-out
tracker. The opt-outs
tracker.
Are impossible to track right now. Do you have a handy site, or do you have an Excel sheet somewhere that you're
David Bell on? And Karloftis out for Purdue, Tennessee okay. by a bill. Now, Alante Taylor's out for Tennessee. So it's not.
They're thin
not
at
Tennessee
corner
by
already,
a million
but
yet.
Yeah. But when yeah. you don't have Alante Taylor, if the other side doesn't have David Bell, it kind of – honestly, that's probably a bigger –
The Karloftis thing I feel like is even more damaging for Purdue.
Yes, I agree. We'll see Cade Mays on the fence in playing in that game for health and draft reasons, I believe. I just think Tennessee is a better team. I think they're playing really good football here at the end of the year. I think it's just one of those better team wins this ball game. It's not a walkover, but I like Tennessee by like 7-10-ish in this ball game. They're going to have 75-80% of the fans, I'm guessing. I don't know that
they'll
sell it out.
David, has Tennessee played a bad game this season?
No, and this is what when people ask me about honestly, Bowling Green is probably their worst performance, quite frankly.
Right.
People ask me
since Hendon Hooker became the starter,
no.
Have they played a single bad game?
No. And they almost beat Pitt playing the wrong quarterback also. But people ask me about Josh Heupel, and it's like, okay, more impressive, I think, than getting just absolutely waxing Missouri and South Carolina, which you've needed to do and haven't done very often since the new SEC. Outside of doing that, and winning all the games you're supposed to win. They didn't have a single loss this year that fans were ready to you know jump into the Tennessee River to drown their sorrows. But they were competitive in every single game, which is the biggest problem of the Jeremy Pruitt era, and at times in the Butch Jones era as well, where they just weren't competitive. Mm-hmm. Where it's the you know it's the first quarter and it's 28-0, and you're sitting there going, I got to sit through 2.5 more hours of this. That right. You lose a lot of fans on days like that. It doesn't matter if you – listen, Alabama and Georgia are better teams than Tennessee, right? But they're not 41 points better. They're not.
Right.
And you saw too much of that. Now, the final scores did not indicate it in the Alabama games, the Florida game early in the season, the Georgia game as well. But they didn't look like they got run off the field. And that, I think, to me – is the best sign in year one for Josh Heupel moving forward. Can he ever get to that point where they're winning 10, 11, 12 games? I still have my doubts. But you're not getting smacked around by the big boys. And that is a really powerful chip to have in your corner, which I think Josh Heupel has right now. And that fans, when they go in, feel like they can win.
They look like they enjoy playing together.
Yeah.
And well, I realize that sounds like a really simple thing. It sounds like a simple thing, but that's such a huge deal for a team.
Yeah. I agree.
If you care about each other, if you want to win for the guy next to you and you just love playing together, like that means something.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, cliche or not, you know, since Josh Heupel's gotten here, they hit on fun, fast, and real, you know, relationships on the field, their program. That's kind of what that's like been their calling card. And you've seen it come to fruition. Tennessee was not, well, you know, you could sort of take qualms with real, however you want to put it, in the Jerry Pruitt era, but they were not fun and they were not fast in any of those of those games. And, you know, this looks like a totally different program. And I think once you have a more built-out roster, you know, they closed the recruiting season in a really strong way. At different points this year, and they had a tough year in-state recruiting, but at different points this year, Tennessee looked like they might not have a top 25, barely, you know, they certainly didn't look like they'd have a top 20 class, maybe barely top 25. They almost got into the top 10, Andy, real close. They closed really, really strong, a nice final day. So a really great month for Tennessee football, and a lot of, I mean, these are the best vibes coming into a year since 19, which was erased very quickly with the Georgia State loss. Do you know offhand who Tennessee opens next season with, Andy? I forget. They've got BYU at some point. But I can't remember if they've got a tough one or an easy one. Either way, good vibes going into the offseason, regardless of how this game plays out. But I think it plays out very well for
them. They open with Ball State, so.
Well, they should be okay. Ball State had some good team, played some good ball this year. A very competent MAC team, but not a team, obviously, that you should lose to. A team you can lose to if you're not careful, but not a team that you should lose to. Andy, the Aggies, 4-point favorites against Wake Forest.
Do you want to hear the list?
Sam Hartman is playing, correct.
Sam Hartman's playing.
He is playing. And he's
just about
back,
everybody
right?
important for Wake Forest is playing.
Yes.
Has he said he's coming back? He said he's playing. It's weird. You get these weird things like Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina before he played that game the other night said, I'm going to play college football next year. Not sure where.
Respectfully, some of these guys dropping these Instagram graphics that are like four paragraphs. Man, I'm going to use the Twitter meme of, sorry, I ain't reading
Hartman's,
all that.
Hartman's back in 2022. Hartman is back in 2022.
It's the Twitter meme of, sorry, I ain't reading all that. I'm sorry that happened to you, or I'm glad that happened, or whatever it is. It's a lot of words, guys. Let's listen. Can we get an editor? Can we get an editor for the college football graphics community to trim some of this down?
Okay, but I'm going to have to, well... The thing that needs you trim down possibly is A&M's list of who's not playing. You ready?
All right, buckle up.
So we know about Zach Calzada. We know that they're rolling with a walk on, most likely at quarterback. Isaiah Spiller also not playing. Offensively, I'm still not as worried because A-Chain's still there, mm-hmm. Anaya Smith's still there, but Leon O'Neal, DeMarvin Leal, and Jaden Peavy not playing defensively. Ooh. Leal's the one.
I mean, that's your front seven.
Wake Forest doesn't have anybody that could have blocked Leal.
No.
Nobody. Like, he would have wreaked havoc on them. But he's not there. PV's a, you know, big guy up front. So he's not there. I'm going to take Wake Forest in this game.
I'm taking him outright.
I got points. I'll take it.
The biggest strength of this team was that front seven, the defensive line. And when your three best players, with apologies to Michael Clemens, are not suiting up, that's a problem. That is a problem. I like Wake, too. I just think it's not a problem of Texas A&M's. You know, Wake's going to score points. Wake's probably getting to 30 in this game. I don't believe that A&M with a walk-on quarterback can get to 30. I just don't.
Now, they're going to score. They will score some on Wake. Walk-on quarterback or no, they will score some on Wake.
Yes.
I just don't know that they're going to score enough. That's and Wake – will Wake score – you know, in the 50s, like they did in a lot of games? No, I don't think so. But
no.
I think they can get into the mid-30s.
Yeah. Like a 33-30 sort of situation, I think. Something along those lines.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Moving on, Andy, to the big ones. We'll go. Do we want to skip the big ones and circle back, or do we want to go continue our...
We don't need to do the playoff games now. We'll have another chance to do that.
Okay.
Granted, we're going to talk about some games that are after the playoff games, but still.
Yes. Arkansas. The Hogs, 2-point dogs in the Outback Bowl. I believe they are representing the Bloomin' Onions, if I'm not mistaken, and Penn State will be the coconut shrimp.
Wait, Penn State's the coconut shrimp? That changes. That might change my pick.
I think that's right. It's hard. They should lean into this more because I have gotten on two separate occasions over the last decade the free coconut shrimp and or Bloomin' Onion. The Bloomin' Onion, quite frankly, is too much fried stuff. I get about a third of the way through it and I start feeling very sick. But those first couple bites, Andy, just an elite dish in American culture, quite frankly.
Now, what do you prefer, the Bloomin' Onion at Outback or the Awesome Blossom at Chili's?
So I'm more of a Bloomin' Onion person. I hate Chili's, quite frankly.
What?
Yes, it's terrible.
Oh, we may have to kick you off the feed.
Listen, you can only microwave food in bags.
Chili's is one. You're thinking of TGI Fridays. You're thinking of Applebee's. Chili's does not microwave those Big Mouth burgers. They do not microwave the, I want my baby back. Now, I'm not probably ordering those because I don't see a smoker at Chili's, but the burgers are fantastic and the chips and salsa, sublime.
I'm out. Either way.
Big old margaritas.
I will say, Andy, two things. One, the orange spiced mustard marmalade that they give you with the coconut shrimp at Outback. It's tremendous. But
yes.
here's the issue. On three separate occasions, Andy, I have asked for an additional, what are we going to call that? A cup of whatever.
Of marmalade?
Yeah. They don't like that, Andy. I get weird looks. I get a forgetfulness that I feel is on purpose.
Wait, is this at the restaurant when you are paying for it, or is
at
this
the restaurant, Andy? At the restaurant.
Oh, so you are paying. Could you offer them like an extra 75 cents if they would give you an extra cup of marmalade?
I mean, I don't think our conversations ever reached that, but I would. It's integral. It's integral. You can't eat the coconut shrimp without that sauce. Now, have you had the Red Lobster terrible version of this? Because they have a gross piña colada sauce. It's terrible.
Yes, I have had that.
So bad.
There was a celebration of shrimp one year where I had the misfortune of trying that.
I hate that sauce. Yes. Anyway, the spiciness, got a little spice in it, a little mustardy. The orange, it's great. Anyway, to get back to the game, I'm rooting for whoever the coconut shrimp is. But on the field, I think Arkansas wins this game on the line of scrimmage.
No Treylon Burks, no Trey Smith. I don't think it matters.
Trey Williams also staying in this ball game.
Opting
out and going into the NFL draft after a drunk driving arrest over the weekend. I still think they can win this game on the line of scrimmage. Penn State has just not impressed me at all this year. I've watched them a decent amount. What do they do well?
This is like the supercharged version of Illinois.
Yeah.
That beat Penn State.
Yeah, that's about right. I would say that's about right. So I like Arkansas because they win this game on the line of scrimmage. Sometimes it's just that simple, and in this game I think it will be. The Hogs win this one. Andy, Kentucky and Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. VRBO, this is like the worst version of Airbnb. Is that right?
No, they're basically exactly the same. I have debated renting the same house on Airbnb and VRBO, just figuring out which service fee is lower and picking that one.
That sounds about right. I don't use either of these services in my day-to-day life very often. Big time Marriott loyalist, sponsor of the show, guys. I think you'll get a lot of reception from myself and Andy.
I'm done. No. I'm Airbnb or VRBO all the way. So
really?
I'm done. I'm done with the Marriott people.
Whoa.
I'm a lifetime titanium already, so they can never take that away from me.
That's like a
you go on the road 150 days a year for about 10 years, you're good to go.
Well, I am not to that status yet. I am still got the Marriott credit card, all that stuff. Anyway, but in this ball game, Andy, oh man, Will Levis, it's just as simple to me. As if he avoids a multi-interception game, they win this. But that's one of his greatest weaknesses is one of Iowa's greatest strengths.
Well, and Iowa, as inept as they can be on offense at times, can destroy you if you turn the ball. Look at poor Maryland.
They built an entire
Maryland thought they were going to have a good year. Maryland thought they were going to have a good year, and then Iowa just decimated them
that
in one
was
night.
One of the, I watched that game in a sports bar in – where was I? I believe I was in Atlanta. I was in Birmingham for Alabama Ole Miss, I believe. And I watched that game, and oh boy, that was poor Talia. That was a rough, rough ball game. So when Iowa gets on top of you, when they can start rushing you and they've got a double-digit lead in the second half and you start throwing it, that can be disastrous. So I'm gonna throw my chips in with Will Levis and say he avoids the disaster. I think his offensive line can help him out. Slow him down a little bit. Get some screens, some slot screens.
I'll take the Hawkeyes and the points.
All right. I'm going to take Kentucky to win this one. I'll take the points. I will give you the points as well. Low scoring game, but I like the Wildcats to get this done. I don't feel good about it, and I reserve the right, Andy, if Levis throws a second pick in the first half, to flip this. Am I allowed to flip this bet?
No, you're not allowed to flip it.
If that happens, it's over. It's over. The Sugar Bowl, Andy. I will be at this game covering Baylor and Ole Miss for a week down in New Orleans. What are your plans for bowl season, Andy?
To take it all in from up here as the COVID surge likely eliminates in-person interviews and makes it not cost effective to attend these games.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I was tempted to head down to the Orange Bowl, but I'm not giving up on that yet, but I'm not not optimistic.
Yeah. This game is a pick 'em from Vegas. It feels like a coin flip. I mean, this is two teams. Baylor's offense has been up and down. The defense has been pretty solid. Ole Miss's offense, Andy, sneaky kind of overrated because they looked like the best offense in the country early in the season. And I think some people stopped watching them once they started losing games. They looked pretty rough the last month of the year.
But then their defense picked it up.
Now, a little bit.
They had a lot of receivers hurt late in the season. I think that had a lot to do with
it. Yeah, the injuries did have a major impact on all that, yes. But they weren't just tearing through teams. And I think this offense is not as good as its reputation. And, Andy, I believe Jeff Lebby is not participating, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe he's at Oklahoma already. The reason they signed Nick Evers was Lebby had recruited him for Ole Miss, so there was a prior relationship. And so when Evers decided, you know, after the Florida coaching change, he was looking elsewhere, Lebby said, "Hey, you didn't want to come play for me at Ole Miss. Would you like to come play for me at Oklahoma?" And boom, there you go. So, yeah, I think that's going on. You know, Blake Shapen was awesome for Baylor.
Really good. Really good.
In that Big 12 championship game. So they're good. I mean, from a quarterback standpoint, obviously Matt Corral. I still think Matt Corral's best quarterback in this draft class.
No. I still struggle.
Who's better?
Well, here's
who you like better.
Here's my question for you, Andy. Because I don't. First of all, I think Kenny Pickett is a lot better. He's gonna be a lot better pro. But we have 10 to 15 years of data that the Baylor system does not translate well to the NFL. Those guys really struggle.
We had that with the air raid, and then Patrick Mahomes blew that up.
Yes, but Patrick Mahomes
won. And now Kyler Murray's doing well too.
Yes, but they weren't running out of the Baylor system. It's different. Those offenses were running more traditional route trees, more traditional reads, doing all of those things. These are not things that are frequent in the Baylor system. We've seen a ton of quarterbacks struggle. And Matt Corral, I don't think, is the most talented guy to come out of the Baylor system. I think that flag goes to Robert Griffin III. I think he's probably more talented than Brandon Weeden or Bryce Petty or a number of these guys. Well, Brandon Weeden didn't play in the Baylor system. He just didn't have a great NFL career. Different system.
He was old.
Yeah.
He was old when he got there.
Also old. But we've seen a lot of guys come out of that. So that, more than anything about him specifically, I think it's going to be a tough transition for him. Maybe he can buck the trend. But give me Kenny Pickett all day long, and give me Carson Strong number two, on my book anyway. But I think they've got the better quarterback in this game. I think at the end of the day, it's probably going to come down to that. This will be a tight game. You're going to have four possessions in the fourth quarter, and what you do with them probably determines how this game plays out. I'm taking Corral. I like Shapen. I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to be a great player. Corral's just better. I think he's been, other than Bryce Young, probably the best quarterback in college this year. I thought he was better than Pickett in college this year.
I think both these defenses are going to play a big role in this. It's not going to be a shootout, I don't think. I think it'll be average.
I think it'll be 50. I think the number that Vegas has, 54, I think that's probably about right.
That sounds very good. That sounds like a very good number.
I agree with you, but I think that's probably about right, that number from where I'm sitting. But give me Ole Miss. It's close. This is going to be a really great game. I'm excited to see it. But I'll take Ole Miss. Where are you going with this one, Andy?
I also will take Ole Miss in this game. I think this might be one of the most fun games of bowl season. I am very excited to watch it.
I am as well. LSU and Kansas State closing us out in the Texas Bowl. Andy, these were two really unpredictable teams this year. I don't know what to make of Kansas State. I have no idea what to make of LSU. They've been all over the map all season long. This will be a fun game because I think both of these teams can win or lose this game by two touchdowns. I guess I'm going to stick with LSU because I think they can win the battle. They're just better on the lines. But Deuce Vaughn, very spicy. He could have a big game. If he starts doing some stuff, I think Kansas State could give LSU some major problems. You look at what, you know, not to go too far back, but, you know, Zach Charbonnet gave them a heck of a time back in the Rose Bowl or in week one. We could see a 170-yard day for Deuce Vaughn. Heck of a player. And Andy, I wish we could get Adrian Martinez in this game. Just for entertainment's sake, we cannot.
Wouldn't that be nice? But we do have former Kansas State great Colin Klein, yes. Basically in his play calling audition.
I believe that's right. Yes,
he's up for the offense. He was a co-OC, but not the play caller. They decided to make a change, and this is basically his audition for that role. So we'll see how he does in that. Obviously, Max Johnson's transfer makes this difficult for LSU. Garrett Nussmeier, they're not going to burn his red. They've applied for a waiver, but we don't know if they're going to get it. So that's we don't know what LSU's quarterback situation is going to be. They say they have a plan they like, which probably is the same plan that Texas A&M has. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. And who knows? Who knows what happens?
Andy, does your family go big for Christmas, or do they go more modest for Christmas?
So we host Christmas dinner, and my wife's mom and two sisters live in town, so there's a lot of in-laws, cousins, all that. And so, yeah, we will have a big – what we do is we open presents at our house in the morning. Mm-hmm. Then everybody assembles over at my wife's mom's house for – she makes pancakes and bacon.
Strong.
And open more presents. And then – everybody goes back to their house to rest. We go back to our house to prepare, because there's going to be a grilled leg of lamb. There's going to be ham. There's going to be mac and cheese. There's going to be cookies of every variety. There's going to be some chocolate espresso martinis, I think, is going to be the seasonal drink that we go with this time. We've gone through a couple different iterations of that. But that seems to be the recipe that everybody wants this year. And it's gonna be fun. We were hoping for a Christmas pool party. I don't think the weather's gonna cooperate. It's probably gonna be in the 50s. So mm-hmm. I don't think we're gonna be able to do that. But it's still gonna be fun.
Yes. Well, on our side, it's a little bit. I think both my wife's family and my family are in like a state of Christmas transition, I suppose. My parents are getting a little older. It's a little bit more low key. But my wife's mm-hmm. family, they go a lot bigger for Christmas, but usually go to grandparents who have passed in the last year or two, and so we're trying to figure out what this is going to look like moving forward. It's usually a little bit more modest on my family side. My wife goes much bigger, leans into the feast aspect of it. I think my side of the family did that a little bit more when we were younger, but Andy, Father Time comes for us all, and people get older and they just are like, you know what? Let's just hang out and get after it.
We only have a few more of these because. So my youngest kid is 10. Mm-hmm. The youngest kid so my wife's one of five, mm-hmm. and there's 12 first cousins among the families. And the youngest of those right now is 9. And so they're going to age out of these big ones. You know, the oldest of the cousins have gone, you know, off to college and moved away and mm-hmm. Live across the country now. So it is getting more subdued as the years go by, but you know, as of a couple of years ago, it was raging because you had all of those young kids just running around like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andy, not to break any news on the podcast, but this time next Christmas, we will have a baby girl in the Ubbin household. What do I need to know about that aspect of Christmas, Andy?
Oh my gosh, you are in for now. Not early on. Because early on, when they're babies, they don't really know what's going on. But the first time you have to put a bike together Christmas Eve, because remember, so you can't have the bike put together before that, mm-hmm. because where are you going
to
hide it?
There's nowhere to hide
it. Unless you can hide it at somebody else's house and they can bring it over to you that night before bed or something.
I feel good about the attic situation.
Okay, well, as long as they're not going to get there, as long as they can't get up there, then you're fine.
Yeah.
But we had an incident where both kids were getting bikes, and one of the bikes, we could not get the seat to go down into the groove that it's supposed to sit in. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like maybe something had happened in the shipping process, and that hole had been dented a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to go to Target, which is open till midnight on Christmas Eve, to get another bike. I have left the house and my, because we had worked on it for like an hour.
Yeah.
And my wife calls me and she's like, abort, abort, we got it. It's in. I got it down. I was like, how? She's like, dead blow hammer. It made it, got it in there. Didn't damage anything. Nice. It worked. It was,
that's good.
Oh, that was such a relief because I had no idea if there was going to be anything available, what that was going to look like.
I don't do but, good with putting things together, so that's good. That's
You're going to have to.
You just described to me my nightmare.
Once they figure it all out, and my kids have figured it all out, so now it's just like, I want some AirPods. Give me some AirPods.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, that will do it for this week's episode of Football and Grits. Enjoy Christmas, everybody. Enjoy the bowl games. Enjoy the weird COVID NFL stuff if you're into that as well. A weird schedule. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. For Andy Staples, I'm David Ubben. We'll see you guys again very, very soon. Happy bowl season, everybody, and Merry Christmas.